Hare Krishna. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 10. Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 10. So this chapter is called as Prayers by Queen Kunti. And this is one of the most wonderful chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam, full of rasa between the Lord and His devotees. Text 10 is as follows. Abhidravati Mamisha. Abhidravati Mamisha. Sarastaptaya so vibho. Kamam dahatu mam natha. Nipatyatam Abhidravati Mamisha Sarastaptaya so vibho Kamam dahatu mam natha Mame garbho nipatyatam Abhidravati Mamisha Sarastaptaya so vibho Kamam dahatu mam natha Mame garbho nipatyatam Abhidravati, coming towards mam, me, Isha, O Lord, Sara, the arrow, Tapta, fiery, Ayasha, iron, Vibho, O great one, Kamam, desire, Dahatu, let it burn, Mam, me, Natha, O protector, Mam, not, me, my, garbha, embryo, nipatyatam, be aborted. Translation. O my Lord, you are all powerful. O my Lord, you are all powerful. A fiery iron arrow is coming towards me fast. A fiery iron arrow is coming towards me fast. My Lord, let it burn me personally. My Lord, let it burn me personally. If you so desire, but please do not let it burn and abort my embryo. But please do not let it burn and abort my embryo. Please do me this favor, my Lord. Please do me this favor, my Lord. Oh, my Lord, you are all powerful. A fiery iron arrow is coming towards me fast. My Lord, let it burn me personally if you so desire. But please do not let it burn and abort my embryo. Please do me this favor. My Lord. Purport, Vashila Prabhupada. This incident took place after the death of Abhimanyu, the husband of Uttara. Abhimanyu's widow, who is Uttara, should have followed the path of her husband. But because she was pregnant and Maharaj Parikshit, a great devotee of the Lord, was lying in embryo, she was responsible for his protection. The mother of a child has a great responsibility in giving all protection to the child. And therefore, Uttara was not ashamed to express this frankly before Lord Krishna. I repeat. The mother of a child has a great responsibility in giving all protection to the child. And therefore, Uttara was not ashamed to express this frankly before Lord Krishna. Uttara was the daughter of a great king, the wife of a great hero. Uttara was the daughter of a great king, the wife of a great hero, and student of a great devotee. And later, she was the mother of a good king also. She was fortunate in every respect. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Maham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srinivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vyasam Sato Jayamudhiraye Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhavatir Naishtiki. Hare Krishna. So I'll read the translation yet again. Oh my Lord, you are all powerful. A fiery iron arrow is coming towards me fast. My Lord, let it burn me personally, if you so desire. But please do not let it burn and abort my embryo. Please do me this favor, my Lord. So before getting into this verse, let's quickly come to the context of this whole pastime leading up to wherever we are in the Srimad Bhagavatam presently. After the battle of Kurukshetra, immediately after that, Ashwathama with revenge in his heart, goes and kills the children of the Pandavas, all the children of the Pandavas. He beheads them by entering their tent. His intention is to kill the Pandavas, but he ends up killing their children. And then he runs away after that. And when the Pandavas realize what has happened, Bhima's rage knows no bounds. And so is Arjuna. So Arjuna promises to Draupadi that he will bathe her with the blood of Ashwatthama. So with this in mind, and with Lord Krishna as his charioteer, he chases Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama's chariot is going ahead with Arjuna in hot pursuit. After some time, Ashwatthama realizes that his horses cannot go any further because they are getting tired. So he realizes that no matter how fast he can run away from Krishna, Krishna will eventually catch up with him. And Arjuna is in the chariot of Krishna, therefore Arjuna can catch up with him. So eventually he realizes there is no point in running, so he turns around and without a thought, he fires Brahmastra at Arjuna. Arjuna prays to Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna instructs Arjuna to counter this Brahmastra with another Brahmastra. And that's how Lord Krishna protects Arjuna. After that, it is mentioned that coronation of Maharaj Yudhishthira happens as the king of Hastinapur, and everything is going well with the Pandavas. But Ashwatthama has not given up. Ashwatthama, after the Pandavas go and finish their final rites for their children, and after this whole pastime happens of the battle of Kurukshetra apparently coming to its logical end, Lord Krishna, as he is leaving Hastinapur to go back to Dwarka, Ashwatthama fires another two Brahmastras. One aimed at the Pandavas and one directly aimed at Maharaj Parikshit, who is still in the womb of his mother Uttara. Uttara is the widow of Abhimanyu, who left his body in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So here is a lady who has already lost her husband. Now an arrow is coming that is essentially meant to finish the child in her womb. So this is the situation. So as soon as Uttara realizes this, she prays, "Oh my Lord, you are all powerful. A fiery iron arrow is coming towards me fast. My Lord, let it burn me personally, if you so desire. But please do not let it burn and abort my embryo. Please do me this favor, my Lord." So recently Atul Krishna Prabhu was here and he gave us two very wonderful sessions on these pastimes and the subsequent pastime, which is prayers of Queen Kunti, which will start after this section. So Atul Krishna Prabhu asked a question to all of us that what is the most significant learning from this pastime, because it comes across as if the Lord is always protecting his devotees, so he's partial in his nature. So how can you understand the Lord's protecting all the Pandavas and now again and again repeatedly protecting them when there are so many things wrong apparently from a morality standpoint that the Pandavas also did? For example, why did Yudhishthira gamble in the first place? How can someone put his wife at stake? So many questions can come from a moral and a virtue point of view. So he asked us all of this question as to then what is the key learning here when Krishna is continuously siding with the Pandavas. And then he explained to us that this is because more than anything else, more than the mundane morality and virtues of this world, Krishna's higher position is that he is Bhakta Vatsala. That is the higher position, and Krishna enjoys protecting his devotees from danger. That's why Sharanagati or surrender to the Lord is a quality which is so dear to the Lord. Because only when we surrender to the Lord do we really give him an opportunity to protect us. Otherwise we think we can protect ourselves by the dint of so many things that we have accumulated in our lives. Wealth, power, position, superannuation, so many things. So the Lord is partial to his devotees, and we'll see it 5 minutes down the line in more detail. The Lord is partial and he never fails to protect his devotees. In fact, that is one of the main purposes of the descent of the Lord. Now, when I was reading this past time, I was thinking, this Ashwatthama, the determination which Ashwatthama had to kill the Pandavas, despite everything going against him, if we had the determination in devotional service, then we'll go back to Godhead very soon. So here was Ashwatthama, his first Brahmastra attempt was neutralized by the Lord. And then he was insulted, and then he was sent. For a Kshatriya, insult is worse than death. So he almost met with death. And he was sent off, but still he persisted. So, I was thinking this, and when I opened Bhurijan Prabhu's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, unveiling his lotus feet, Bhurijan Prabhu very nicely answers that question. He writes, one wonders how Ashwatthama had the power and the persistence to send another Brahmastra after so many reversals. He was completely finished, but still he was going on and on. So, Bhurijan Prabhu explains that although Ashwatthama lost his power and his effulgence, neither his knowledge nor his memory was affected. So, although his power and effulgence were lost, his knowledge and memory were not lost. Nor was his hatred for the Pandavas, that still was burning. So, as much as love for Krishna can make us work with lot of intensity, hatred for Lord Krishna and his devotees can also make us work with lot of intensity. What was the fate of Ashwatthama? That is another question. So, Bhurijan Prabhu mentions that same Ashwatthama later became one of the 7 great sages. That was a bit far. He became one of the 7 great sages in the next Manvantara. And obviously, you know, I couldn't understand. But Bhurijan Prabhu writes, he says, this is Krishna's pastime. So, Lord Krishna's pastimes cannot be understood. It's very difficult to comprehend. Lord Krishna's pastimes, he mentions, proceed according to the desire of the Lord and according to what gives pleasure to the Lord. So it's beyond all our logic. And he mentions that once the Lord desires, this is what I want and this is what I am going to get pleasure from, then he suitably empowers all the characters in his drama. And again, we can't understand how Ashwatthama was empowered even after that to fire a Brahmastra after so many sinful activities that he did. But that is the Lord's pastime. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is replete with such pastimes of the Lord continuously saving his devotees from different types of trouble and tribulation. Bhurijan Prabhu further mentions that, and this is Srila Prabhupada's example. So, he mentions that Brahmastra carries the heat of millions and millions of suns. That's the power of a Brahmastra. But if Lord Krishna desires, he can give that ability to fire such a Brahmastra to the enemy camp. But at the same time, he can also counter that Brahmastra just like the sun evaporates a drop of dew. It's insignificant. A drop of dew is insignificant against the power of the sun. So, the power of the Lord is so significant that a Brahmastra is relatively very insignificant against that power. What I further understood by reading was, it was not that the womb of Putra was not destroyed, that the embryo of Putra was not destroyed. Actually it was destroyed, because the Brahmastra has to do its job. But it is mentioned that Lord Krishna gave a second body to Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit's soul was there in the embryo. The embryo was destroyed, but a second body was given to Maharaj Parikshit. Not only that, the Lord entered the womb personally and gave his darshan to Maharaj Parikshit in the womb itself. That's why his name became Maharaj Parikshit. Parikshit means one who constantly inquires into the absolute truth. So the Lord appeared in a form which was the size of a thumb, and a very beautiful description of that form is given in the ensuing verses, how the Lord appeared in his forearm form with a golden crown on his head. So that's explained very nicely. So here is a great personality, Maharaj Parikshit, who had darshan of the Lord right in the womb. And ever since that he came out of that womb, the whole mission of his life was to understand this personality. Who was that who protected me, leading up to this dialogue between him and Sukadeva Goswami, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's very surprising and amazing on one hand that the Lord is outside and Uttara is praying to the Lord, but at the same time the Lord is inside giving darshan to Maharaj Parikshit and protecting him from the Brahmastra. That is why, and this is a very unique feature of the Lord. And one of the Chatushloki verses, most important verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, also highlights this. Yata mahanti bhutani bhuteshu chavacheshvanu pravishthani apravishthani tata teshu na teshvanu. So it says that the purport is, Lord Krishna can be inside as well as outside at the same time. He can do anything. Pravishthani and apravishthani. He can enter and he need not enter also at any point in time. So it's inconceivable. So as much as we start thinking, how wonderful is the Lord that he can do all this, the purports are actually opposite of that. The translation again comes that this is not wonderful. There is nothing wonderful about this. This is something very ordinary for the Lord to do all these things. So don't be amazed with all these things. So in one sense it's wonderful, in one sense we are told that don't think this is very wonderful. This is nothing for the Lord, like that. The Lord can do anything. And Bhurijan Prabhu says that if a paper is torn and shredded and the pieces are thrown here and there, then the paper doesn't make an absolute sense in itself. But we cannot compare that with the Lord. The Lord can split into himself into infinite entities and still he makes a complete sense. Purnamadaham Purnamidam. So the absolute is still remains the absolute. And that is why this pastime of the Lord prompts Kunti Maharani to actually ask him, Lord, are you inside or outside? You seem to be inside, outside, everywhere. Who are you? And she asks a lot of questions. And then the Lord doesn't answer her from outside. As she asks these prayers, she herself answers her own questions. And that is the whole set of Queen Kunti's prayers. Oh my dear Lord, you are inconceivable. And she starts praying to the Lord and glorifying the Lord. So as Paramatma, the Lord is guiding her from within, though being also in front of her. So in one sense, this pastime is preempting the prayers of Kunti Maharani to help us understand who the Lord is. And being whatever he is, what can he still become for his devotee? So it gives us hope in this material world. So these verses is preempting her prayers. And she's praying to the Lord, Kunti Maharani is also praying to the Lord, that Lord, your energy is so deluding. You are continuously protecting all of us through each danger,
But at the same time, you are standing in front of us like an ordinary man and simply smiling and talking to us as if you are our friend. So Purujan Prabhu is writing that, and Srila Prabhupada also writes that just like an actor wears a costume, right? And because of the costume, you can't recognize who this actor is. So similarly, Lord Krishna, by his own energy, covers his godhood to all of us, so that we can enjoy sweet pastimes from him, and vice versa. And he can also do that with us. So there are many lessons in this section. A, that the Lord can do anything. He is Swaraj. He is completely independent. He is not under anyone's control. B, the Lord is impartial, yet partial. He is both. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurya Kadambini explains this point very nicely in the opening sections. Is the Lord impartial or partial? So he says, Mamai Vamsha Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. All of us are his part and parcels. And the Lord, just like a mother can never prefer one son over the other, the Lord also cannot discriminate in that sense. So he provides for everyone equally. So in that sense he is impartial. But here we see that still he is a little bit more inclined towards his devotees. And of course Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions another interesting point. He says that the Lord may stand in his position of impartiality, but the Lord has to bow down to his devotee, because devotees are partial. And the Lord has to accept the verdict of his devotee. So that is another beauty of the Lord. So therefore, it is mentioned, then he goes on to mention that this is the role of a Madhyama Adhikari. An Uttama Adhikari thinks, of course, a Kanishta Adhikari thinks that no one is better than him. He is the most advanced. That is Kanishta Adhikari. And Uttama Adhikari on the other hand is quite the opposite. He thinks, I am the most fallen. So therefore, who do I preach to? I am the most fallen person. So Uttama Adhikari also doesn't think that way. Kanishta Adhikari also thinks in this way. And therefore, the Madhyama Adhikari's importance is highlighted in the earlier section of Madhurya Kadambini. Prema Maitri Kripa Upeksha Yaha Karoti Samadhyama. So Madhyama Adhikari is the one who does the discrimination. So who does Prema with senior devotees? Who does Maitri with peers, friendship with peers? Kripa, who bestows his compassion on people who are not as advanced as he or she is. And then Upeksha, stays away from people who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. So discrimination, if you like, is the prerogative of the Madhyama Adhikari. However, an Uttama Adhikari is also very compassionate. Obviously, he is more compassionate than the Madhyama Adhikari. So the Uttama Adhikari therefore has to come down to the platform of Madhyama Adhikari to be able to preach. So in that sense, the Lord's impartiality cannot stand for a long time, because the partiality of a devotee interferes with the Lord's plan at all points in time and makes recommendations to the Lord. Oh my dear Lord, this fellow is a rascal, but please, he has served me very nicely. At least he has attempted to serve. So please take him back. And such a personality is Srila Prabhupada, who being an Uttama Adhikari came down to the Madhyama platform and preached and changed the desire of the Lord and gave people like me hope that we can go back to Godhead with all our anarthas. So the Lord can do anything. He is Swaraj. The Lord is impartial yet partial. And this partiality of the Lord is an embellishment to his character. That's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes. It's not a problem. In Hindi we say it's not a dog, but it is actually an embellishment. Because the Lord is beyond the principles of mundane virtue. Another lesson we get is the principle of surrender. Here is a lady who has lost her husband. Usually a lady who loses her husband at this point in time will be lamenting, oh my dear Lord, I was so close to you. Don't you know I am Uttara? Why did my husband die? I think I am losing my faith nowadays in you. You don't seem to be so responsive to my problems. Therefore I will go and pray to Sai Baba. She didn't start thinking like that. So she once again surrendered to the Lord. When the child in her womb was threatened by the Brahmastra. And when such surrender is seen by the Lord, then the Lord becomes Bhakta Vatsala. And The Lord can assume any form. He can break any rules of the game to perform this role as Bhaktavatsala. He can assume the form of a pig also. To save the earth, he can assume the form of a boar, which is otherwise an abominable animal. Of course, the Mayavadis don't understand this. When Krishna comes and attracts us and he charms us and he's so beautiful to look at, the Mayavadi says that I'm the same person, that Krishna and I same person. We are same. But then when you tell, oh, that means that pig and you are the same, then they'll say, no, no, no. So, we have to understand that the Lord only can assume all these forms. He still can assume the form of the hog and still be very attractive also. Such that the waters from his body is charanamrit. Everyone is praying for the water to taste the water. The demigods are standing in front of the Lord saying that please give us a drop of the water. When the Lord is going, you know, he's shaking his head and body like this. So they are praying for the drop of water coming from the body of a hog, which is actually the Lord. So so surrender is a quality which attracts the Lord. That's the third lesson. Fourth is, the Lord can be approached by one who is akinchana. Only a person who is akinchana, completely free from material desires, can approach the Lord. A person who is not akinchana has got many more things in his life to fall back on at times of danger. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a famous verse which says, Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavad akinchana sarvair gunair tatra samasate sura harav abhaktasya kuto mahat guna manorathena dhavatovari manorathena sati dhavatovari. Which means, a person only who is completely surrendered and a devotee of the Lord, only in such a person all the good qualities manifest. Harav abhaktasya, a person who is not a devotee of the Lord, kuto mahat guna, from where will such a person, where will good qualities manifest in such a person? Mano rathena sati dhavato bahi. He is just going on the rath of his man. Manka rath. Mano rathena sati dhavato means running bahi on the outside. He is only hovering on the mental platform. So Bhurijan Prabhu writes in his purports that a devotee perceives difficulties in life as the sources of freedom. It's a very nice statement. Difficulties in life are the sources of freedom from material existence. Whereas for a non-devotee, the reaction is completely the opposite. Non-devotee tries to solve the problems of his life by dint of his own abilities. Or, typically, especially since I come from India, whenever there is a problem, people run to the temple. Otherwise, they don't go to the temple. So, people run to the temple and try to do some temporary appeasement of the god or the demigods. Or, they run to some bogus Baba to take his blessings. And this has become a habit there. And they bestow such bogus people with lot of gifts and money. And the bogus person also wants to take this. Lobhi Guru Lalji Chela, dono ka narak mein thelam thelam. One of my godbrothers, Gauram Prabhu, he made this statement in one of his lectures. So, Lohi Guru, a person, a greedy guru, and Lalji Chela, a lusty disciple, dono ka narak mein thelam thelam. Both of them will have eternal meetings in the hellish planetary systems. So, people run there. Whereas, genuine devotees are neither interested in running to such charlatans, nor is an Uttama Adhikari interested in giving shelter to people who don't want spiritual shelter. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, when he was lecturing once in Vrindavan, he found that a wealthy donor who has donated a lot of money to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was continuously gossiping during the class with his neighbor. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami stopped the lecture. He pointed to the person and said, "Do you think you have purchased me with your money? If that is so, then you are wrong," he said. And therefore he taught that I don't care about your wealth, nor is Krishna dependent for his services on your wealth. Krishna is the most wealthiest person. So if you give, it's for your own purification. So just having given some wealth to me, don't think that you have purchased me and therefore you can control your guru. But a person who is not so elevated as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, definitely he'll be more biased to the wealthy individuals, saying that, okay, let my dakshina continue. Just like Shukracharya's example is there. When Shukracharya told, this is Vishnu, don't give anything to him. And still Bali Maharaj said, no, no. His Mahavishnu, everything is owned by him at the end of the day. What is there for me to give? And then he disobeys. He rejects such a instruction from his spiritual master. Because Shukracharya wanted his own pension to continue, his own Guru Dakshina to continue. So he advises, if Bali Maharaj loses everything, what will I get then? How will I survive? So this is the thinking of an Acharya who is not a genuine Acharya. Of course, we don't know the eternal constitutional position of Shukracharya, so we have to take this as an example. Also, Srila Gaur Keshwar Das Babaji, he also hated people who used to come like this, who used to run to him during some material danger and ask for material benedictions. Babaji, Ashirvad, Ashirvad, blessings. So therefore, he locked himself up and sat in a public lavatory to do his bhajan. Because normally people will not come there and disturb him. And once, Maharaj Mahindra Nandi, there was this personality who came to Babaji, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, and said, I am organizing Sankirtan festival. Can you please come? And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji immediately realized that this person actually doesn't want to glorify the Lord. He wants to organize this festival so that his prestige in society will go up. Oh, how nicely he is able, his organizational skills are. So Babaji could immediately see through that request. And Babaji said, why are you organizing Sankirtan festival? Come to me, I will teach you how to do Sankirtan. So he said that, oh Babaji, I will do anything whatever you say. He said, you will do anything? Okay, come. Renounce your Maharaj position right now and come here. Wear cowpin and come and chant with me. Here is bead bag. He ran away. He was never to be seen in front of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji after that. So therefore, the point is when one is not akinchana, one is not free from material desires, one cannot approach the Lord with a genuine feeling. And this is what is explained by Kunti Maharani later on. Now, while Uttara here in this pastime has been attacked with one Brahmastra, we in Kali Yuga are attacked by several Brahmastras, day in and day out. The worst Brahmastra for a man or a woman is the arrow of Cupid. Though being within the movement, Hare Krishna movement, this arrow can pierce any of us at any point in time. So we can never take our sadhana for granted or our position for granted in this material world. So these Brahmastras are much more powerful. Worse is that we are not as surrendered, half as surrendered as Uttara was. At least I am not. So, but the Lord is very merciful. Paritranaya sadhuna. So he comes personally to save us. To save us, he performs so many superhuman feats, like what he did here. He kills a lot of demons. These are the external demons he kills, who are loath to devotees, who don't like devotees. So he kills such demons, who are against devotees and the concept of devotional service. And he also kills internal demons within our heart. So he does both. Helping the devotees by killing the external demons so that the devotee can continue his sadhana, and also killing the internal demons. And for this purpose, he descends to give us a higher taste, because without a higher taste, our lower tastes will not go away, and therefore the lower tastes will give food to the internal demon within our heart. So therefore he performs nectarian pastimes to give us a higher taste. Further, so that his devotees can relate to his teachings easily, he sends his own representatives. Because one can say, oh, Lord Krishna may say so many things, he said all this and went back, but then I cannot see a walking, talking example in my contemporary life. So the Lord knows this mentality, so he sends his representatives, who are people who apparently are like all of us, who come here, live amongst mortals and teach us by the example of their own lives. So today is a very auspicious day, because today is a day where Lord has exhibited both this. He has exhibited by coming himself and performing a nectarian pastime by giving us a higher taste, as well as he has sent two of his most intimate servants. So today is the day of Balram Rasayatra. And today is also the day when Lord Krishna starts his spring pastimes. Also, today is the day of appearance of two very elevated Vaishnavas, Srila Vamsi Vadana Thakur and Srila Shyamanand Pandit. This is the appearance day today. So, Balram Rasayatra is nothing but the Rasa Leela of Balram, which commences today. So, Rasa Leela is commenced once in autumn and once in spring. The autumn month is called as, which in other words, the Balram Rasayatra is commenced in the Vishakha month and in the Chaitra month. And I'm given to understand, which I verified with my mother this morning, that Chaitra month is starting now. Is that correct? It's called as Chitra or Chaitra. So today is that day of Balram Rasayatra. So it's a very good opportunity to take the blessings of Lord Balram through, especially for those people who still are searching for a spiritual master, because Balram ji guides us to our spiritual master. And for those of us who have a spiritual master, to pray to Lord Balram to give us the sincerity of purpose to be able to serve our spiritual master. So, in the next 10 minutes or so, we'll discuss about these two great personalities, Vamsi Vadana Thakur and Shyamanand Pandit, and then we will end the class. So, Vamsi Vadana Thakur was a great acharya in Chaitanya Leela, and he was born in a place called Puliyagram. His father was known as Madhav Das, and his father was also a pure devotee of the Lord. To further substantiate that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in the house of his father Madhav Das for 7 days when he came to Puri to see Sachi Mata and the Ganges after he took sannyas. So he stayed in the house of the father of Vamsi Vadana Thakur, whose name was Madhav Das. And this is the place, this Kuliyagram, this is the place where the Lord also pardoned the offense of another great Vaishnava whose name was Devananda Pandit. Now, Devananda Pandit, it is mentioned, was a mukshu. He was an impersonalist. So, he had his own set of disciples, Devananda Pandit, and he used to give regular Srimad Bhagavatam classes to his disciples. And once, Srivas Pandit went there and heard Bhagavatam from Devananda Pandit. But being the pure devotee of the Lord, he went into ecstasy and tears started rolling down from his cheeks. Now, Mayavadi philosophy obviously does not evoke any emotion, because at the end of the day, everybody is God. So, where is the question of any emotions here? There is nothing called as mellow or pastime. There is nothing like that. Everything is Maya according to them. Right? So, when such people speak Bhagavatam, it does not evoke any sentiments or emotion. Whereas, here is this personality who has entered that Bhagavatam class and he is understanding Bhagavatam from the standpoint of the absolute truth, and he is shedding tears. And what do? The disciples of Devananda Pandit, they throw this Vaishnava out of the class, saying that don't do all these things. Now, what a big Vaishnava aparatha this is. Now, on one hand, the disciples of Devananda Pandit have to be blamed because they directly did this. But on the other hand, Devananda Pandit was silent and did not object to that. So, he was even more responsible as the spiritual master, because he failed to guide his disciples on what is right and what is wrong. And therefore, he was party to this Vaishnava Aparadha, and therefore, he earned the wrath of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, as much as he earned Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wrath, what happened was, by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own arrangement, because again, Devananda Pandit is not an ordinary person. This was again a pastime of the Lord. I read somewhere, I could be wrong, but if I remember correctly, Devananda Pandit is part of the members of the court of Nanda Maharaj. So obviously, he cannot be an ordinary personality. He is enacting the role of a Mayavadi. Pretty much as much as even Advaita Acharya preached Mayavad philosophy for quite some time, with a purpose, to facilitate the Lord's pastimes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Of course, the story is long. We don't want to go into Devanand Pandit's, but the pastime was that another great Vaishnava came and stayed with Devanand Pandit. And by that person's association, by constantly hearing about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Devanand Pandit developed a genuine affection for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And thus, he was delivered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, this is that spot where, this is that same time when, you know, this pastime took place, Vamsivadana Thakur's pastime took place, then all this was also happening. And therefore, the place, this place where this pastime happened came to be known as Aparadha Bhanjan Path, where any aparadhas can be pardoned. So, Vamsivadana Thakur's birth, when it happened, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally present during the time that he was being delivered by his mother. So he was so fortunate, so blessed by the Lord. And Vamsivadana Thakur's mother's name was Sri Chandrakala Devi. Now, who is Vamsivadana Thakur? Vamsivadana Thakur is none other than the incarnation of the flute of Lord Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally present when he was born, and therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed all his affection on Srila Vamsivadana Thakur. Not only was Srila Vamsivadana Thakur very dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he was even more dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's consort, Vishnu Priya Mataji. To that extent that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left and took sannyas, both of them decided together, who are both Vamsivadana Thakur and Vishnu Priya Mataji, decided that they will give up food and water in the pain of separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, so determined they were that the Lord had to personally intervene. The Lord got concerned and he came and he appeared before them, and he appeared before them in a deity form and told them, now you worship this deity of mine, so you will not feel that separation from me. And that became Vamsivadana Thakur's deity, personal deity, which is worshipped even today in a place called Dhameshwar, and the deity also is called as Dhameshwar. And it is said that when you see the deity, when you see the base of the deity, then you can see the name of Srila Vamsivadana Thakur inscribed on the body of the deity itself. So that is the glory of Vamsivadana Thakur. Vamsivadana Thakur was a great poet and a composer of so many nectarian songs. And it is said that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas vesh, he composed poems simply based on the lamentations of Sachi Mata and Vishnu Priya Mataji. So, he was a great poet, and his poetry can give us love for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The next personality whose appearance day is today is Shyamanand Pandit. And obviously many of us will know more about Shyamanand Pandit than we would know about Vamsivadana Thakur. But for our own purification, let us speak and hear this. So, as you are aware, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami and Jiva Goswami, they were the primary acharyas through who mankind came to know of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leelas. And that's why we are called as Rupanugas in one sense. However, dissemination of this philosophy, which was inscribed by these people, was only possible because of the next set of disciples, namely Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya and Shyamanand Pandit. And today is Shyamanand Pandit's appearance day. So, Shyamanand Pandit was highly instrumental in spreading the teachings of Lord Chaitanya throughout Bharatvarsh, especially in a province called as Utkal, which is the modern day Orissa. So he was the son of Sri Krishna Mandal, who himself was a very advanced devotee. Now Krishna Mandal and his wife, the Lord had a very unique pastime with them, that so many of their sons and daughters died as soon as they were born. Therefore, when Shyamanand Pandit was born, at that time he was named as Dukhiya or Dukhi. Dukhi. Dukhi means a person who is, usually Dukh means sadness and Dukhi means unfortunate. His name was Dukhiya, unfortunate one. However, he was born at a very auspicious time in the month of Chaitra. And he demonstrated a very high level of intellect at a very early age. And even the Vedic scholars at that time were astounded by the intellect which he demonstrated. As much as he was intelligent, as soon as he heard of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, he immediately developed a spontaneous attachment for these two personalities. And so much was his attachment that even his father could sense that attachment and thought that this person cannot be kept at home for a long time. So seeing the attachment, his father asked him to get initiated into the divine mantra of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. Now, Shyamanand Pandit was very young at this time, or Dukhi was a very young boy. But as soon as his father asked him to take mantra from a guru, immediately, spontaneously he said, Hridaya Chaitanya Das is my guru. So he already knew who his guru was at such a young age. And he said that he resides in Ambika Kalna. And he is a disciple of Gauridas Pandit. So he said, I am going to go to this personality and take initiation. He also said that Gaur Nithaya eternally reside in the house where Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu resides. So I want to go there and take initiation from him. His father said, how will you go alone, my dear son? He said, don't worry, I will go alone. Because so many people go towards the Ganges, I will walk along with them and I will take initiation from the spiritual master. As soon as he saw his spiritual master, he came in front of Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu or Hridaya Chaitanya Maharaj. A young boy standing in front of his guru, he said, I have come to serve your lotus feet. Because Hridaya Chaitanya Maharaj asked, who are you? He said, I have come to serve your lotus feet and I am the son of Madhav Das and I am coming from this place. Now, as soon as Hridaya Chaitanya, his guru, heard this, he said, yes, I was also thinking this morning, something within my heart kept telling me that today you will find someone very special who will become your disciple. So already the guru also came to know through Paramatma that this person is going to come. So immediately he accepted him and he asked him, what is your name? So he said, Dukhiya. He said, what kind of a name is this? From today, your name will be Krishnadas. And from that day onwards, Shyamanand Pandit came to be known as Dukhi Krishnadas. So, of course, this is transcendental Dukhi Krishnadas. Many of us who run away from service or who are not very pleased to get service are also Dukhi Krishnadas. We are very Dukhi when it comes to being servant of Krishna. So, but this is not that Dukhi Krishnadas. Okay. So, Shyamanand Pandit, by dint of his genuine sincere service to his spiritual master and by his sheer intelligence, he pleased his spiritual master so much so that very early on in his devotional life cycle, he got an instruction from Hridaya Chaitanya Das, his spiritual master, to go to Vrindavan and study under a more elevated acharya. That was, of course, Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu's mood, who was none other than Srila Jiva Goswami. So he told, go and study under him. And his Guru Maharaj conveyed many instructions through his disciples to Shyamanand Pandit. And on the way to Vrindavan, after he took leave of Hridaya Chaitanya Das, he visited so many places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, went and took blessings from all the Vaishnavas who were present on the planet, who are Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, and then entered Vrindavan. So that shows his mood. As soon as he met Jiva Goswami, within a few days he became very dear to Jiva Goswami because of his sincere service. And therefore, Jiva Goswami gave him a very confidential service. What was that confidential service? That confidential service is that service which even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva want to get, but cannot get. And that service is sweeping the forest of Seva Kunj, where Lord Krishna performs his confidential pastimes with Srimati Radharani. So that was the service which was given to Dukhi Krishnadas. So Dukhi Krishnadas every day used to go to Seva Kunj and sweep. Being a pure devotee that he was, as soon as he began to sweep, ecstatic symptoms started manifesting in his body. And time and again, he used to take the broom and then keep it on his head. So that was his mood.
because he understood that this is not an ordinary service that he has got. So he was completely immersed in that seva. And one day, as he was doing his seva, he found, when he was sweeping, a beautiful ankle bracelet. Is that called as nupur? He found a nupur, an ankle bracelet. It was so beautiful that he picked up this bracelet and he wanted to keep it. So he, and then he decided, okay, let me see who it belongs to and I'll give it, return it, whoever comes to me, otherwise let it be with me. So he tightly bound it to his upper cloth and kept it with himself. Now what happened was, the following morning when the sakhis were serving Srimati Radharani, they found that the nupur or the ankle bracelet on her left leg was missing. So immediately Vishakha Sakhi got very concerned and then she went back. Oh, yesterday was Rasalila, so maybe Radharani lost her nupur somewhere there in Sevakunj. So she came back. When she came back, she saw this nupur was with Shyamanand, with Dukhi Krishna Das. So she approached Dukhi Krishna Das, and Dukhi Krishna, she was like a Vrajavasi village girl. So nevertheless, when Dukhi Krishna Das looked at her, she was so beautiful to look at that he knew this is not an ordinary personality I'm talking to. So he said, "Who are you?" She said, "I have come here to search for this nupur, and I think you have this nupur with you. Can you please give it, because it belongs to one of my sakhis, one of my girlfriends." So Dukhi Krishna Das, being very intelligent, he said, "Yeah, no problem, certainly I'll give it to her, but please ask her to come personally, I'll hand it over personally to her." So, and he refused to give it. So Vishakha Sakhi went back all the way to Radharani and said that this person, Dukhi Krishna Das, he is not willing to give it to me. He said, "You have to personally come." And Srimati Radharani, of course, being pleased with the service and mood of Dukhi Krishna Das, decides to come personally. Now, next day when Dukhi Krishna Das is going for his seva, suddenly he sees an effulgent personality who is none other than Rishabhanu Nandini, standing at a far distance. And next to him is Vishakha Sakhi, asking him back for that nupur. She says, "I have brought my sakhi now. Now will you give it back to me?" Now as he hands over the nupur to Vishakha Sakhi, immediately Radharani manifests Radhakund, which is non-different from the mercy of Radharani. She manifests Radhakund right in front of Dukhi Krishna Das. And Dukhi Krishna Das immediately jumps into that Radhakund, emerges out, but this time when he emerges out, he's got a female manjari form. And in that manjari form, he then goes, takes that nupur back and personally goes and puts it on Radharani. So this is how elevated this person is. Radharani, pleased with the service, takes that ankle bracelet and presses it firmly against the forehead of Dukhi Krishna Das. So much so that nupur forms a permanent tilaka on his forehead. And then she disappears from his vision. And then Dukhi Krishna Das comes out of his state, ecstatic state, and finds himself again in Sevakunj with the broom in his hand. And then he goes, he becomes like a madman after that. He goes and rushes to Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami sees this new tilak. Not that he goes and boasts to everyone, "You know what, I met Radharani today," to get prestige. So he remains silent, he goes to Jiva Goswami, lets Jiva Goswami ask him, "What is this tilak on your forehead?" And then he narrates the whole pastime to Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami says, "Let it remain like that." And further he reveals that Radharani has also told me that my name from now is not Dukhi Krishna Das, but it is Shyamananda. That's how he got his name as Shyamananda Pandit. So Jiva Goswami gives his permission. See his humility. He goes and asks Jiva Goswami, "Can I be called like this from today?" Jiva Goswami says, "Yes, you have permission to be called like this." Even after Radharani personally gives Maryada Vatikrama, he never surpasses a senior authority. He still goes and asks, "Can I be called like this? Radharani asked him, told me like this." So he takes permission from Jiva Goswami. And then from that day onwards, he is called as Shyamananda Pandit. In the meanwhile, because of this pastime, it cannot be hidden. The glories of a devotee, genuine devotee, can never be hidden from this world. So as much as it spreads in Vrindavan, far off, wherever his spiritual master, Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu is there, he also hears this.
But at that time, there were a lot of sahajiyas also in Vrindavan. Lot of people pretending to become manjaris or sakhis. So this was very prevalent. And Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu got worried that this man, I gave him the name of Dukhi Krishna Das. He goes around calling himself a Shamanand Pandit, and also he has changed his tilak. He has become a sahajiya. So he gets very upset, and with anger in his heart, he comes, and when he sees Dukhi Krishna Das with that tilak and calling himself a Shamanand Pandit, he severely chastises his disciple. Severe chastisement he gets. And then he goes back, and the same night, Radharani comes in the dream of his Guru Maharaj, Hridaya Chaitanya. And Radharani is chastising, how dare you interfere with my plan? I have given up the name, who are you now to come in between me and him? So she chastises his Guru very severely. And then Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu understands the exalted position of Shyamanand Pandit, so much so that he comes and begs apology with Shyamanand Pandit and says, continue doing whatever Radharani wants you to do. That's her service. However, Dukhi Krishna Das's humility, or Shyamanand Pandit's humility, is that, thank you very much, now I will serve Radharani directly. No, that was not his mood. He still told his Guru Maharaj, saying that, no, I am your servant, you instruct me on what I should do. So that is the elevated position of maturity of Shyamanand Pandit in his devotional service. So, from there starts the preaching of Shyamanand Pandit. So the pastime is that he goes to Utkal after that, and then he goes and converts so many people in Utkal Desh into pure devotees. He even delivers a yogi named as Damodar, who is a Mayavadi, and you know, with a long beard, and then he initiates him into Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He delivers a devotee who is already a childhood devotee called as Rasika, who is the son of a wealthy landlord who was looking for a guru. So this Rasika also, as much as Shyamanand Pandit himself came to know that Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu is his guru, the Rasika also gets a voice saying that Shyamanand Pandit is your guru. So that is his glory. So in a place called Rohini, he initiates this disciple also called as Rasika. Shyamanand Pandit is also credited with developing a temple in a place called Gopi Ballabpur, where he set up a Radha Govind temple using the wealth of many of his wealthy disciples. So with his powerful preaching, lot of people, wealthy, poor, everyone started following him in the entire of Utkal Desh, Orissa, and he is the person who is credited with the task of spreading the movement in that part of India. And then after doing all that service, he returns to Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu. After taking blessings of Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu once again, Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu tells him to continue his preaching. And then, soon after that instruction, he attends the Kheturi festival, where Janma Mata is also present, and there he gets reunited with his alumni, if you like, of Jiva Goswami's class, which is Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya. He gets united with them. And then after the Kheturi festival, again he goes back to meet his spiritual master, but by the time his spiritual master has already left the planet. Soon after that, Shyamanand Pandit continues the instruction of his spiritual master, and on an auspicious day, he also leaves this planet. The Pushpa Samadhi, as well as the Pushpa Samadhi of Shyamanand Pandit, is also existent near to the place where he found this Nupur, even today, across the street from Sri Radha Shyam Sundar temple in Vrindavan. And Radha Shyam Sundar are also his worshipable deities. It is said that Shyamanand Pandit is none other than Kanaka Manjari in Krishna Leela. So today is the auspicious appearance day of Srila Shyamanand Pandit as well as Srila Vamsi Vadan Thakur. It's also Balram Rasyatra today. So it's a very auspicious day to pray to all these personalities so that we can make continued progress in Krishna consciousness amidst the several Brahmastras that come in our life, like Uttara faced. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki.